It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time.
Hello there, and welcome to International Waters, the sci-fi comedy game show where comedians earn tickets based on their opinions and how close those opinions are to my opinions. I'm your host, Asterios Kokonos. For the first time ever, we're doing a cyber episode.
Oh, shit.
Where I've got people calling in. They've decked in to the Matrix using their Renraku. Wait, hold on. Alex, do you know any of this Blade? Do you know any of the cyberpunk shit?
Yeah, we're downloading the mainframe. We're hacking all that stuff.
Exactly. We're doing it all. Yeah. We're decking in. We're jacking in. We're jacking something.
McAfee.
Exactly. That guy you're hearing right now from Star Wars Minute, it's Alex Robinson. Say hi.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Alex Robinson from Star Wars Minute.
And he's also Eisner Award-winning cartoonist. He's that Alex Robinson, if you know. And then on my left channel, we got YouTube superstar, the funny man wonderkind, Mumpke Jones. Say hi.
Hey, everybody. I always love being the least famous person at the table.
Well, look, hey, three out of three ain't bad. All right, we're going to start off. I want to get your Jeopardy factoids. The way we start the show is, you know, like on Jeopardy, they'll be like, Alex Trebek will be like, I hear you've got the world's largest collection of penguins, or I hear one time you helped Axl Rose change a tire. So Alex Robinson, if you were on Jeopardy, what would your Jeopardy factoid be?
I think my Jeopardy factoid would be that I've never seen an episode of Law and Order in any of its incarnations.
That sounds intentional.
Well,
it sounds like if Law and Order is on the screen for even a second, you leave the room, you flip the channel. It sounds like that's a streak you're trying to maintain. True or false?
At this point, that is true. I figure that's the most interesting thing about me, so it wouldn't be worth it to ruin it by starting to watch Law and Order. So,
okay,
listen, I'm not going to say that you should ruin your streak now, but there is one episode of Law and Order SVU where the main cop guy goes into solitary confinement for 3 days, and it's such a touching look at this terrible thing that we're putting prisoners through. And if you're going to watch any episode, I'd say that's worth a peek.
All right. I'm not going to do it.
That's my SVU recommendation episode of the night, folks.
Do you see that cop, like, all shirtless and glistening? And it's like, whoa, this hot stuff's happening in there.
Oh, he loses his mind. He's just, like, in a little room. It's crazy what we do to those
people. Oh, that's the one with Christopher Maloney. Yes, okay. So Christopher Maloney.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Oz? Because he was on Oz.
He's on both. Christopher Maloney's on Law & Order SVU. And Christopher Maloney is obviously... He's also Casey Jones from the Ninja Turtles movie, right?
How can one man have so much talent?
He's real goddamn good. And then here's the thing. He just walked away. He's on SVU. I think he's on SVU for like
9 seasons, yeah.
No, it's even more. It's either like 12 or 16 seasons.
Shit.
It's one of those two numbers. And then he's like, oh, I want a little more money. And they're like, well, we're already paying you a lot of money, so no. And he's like, I'm good, fold. And he just leaves.
He just left Marissa Haggerty hanging there to carry the show by herself. What a scumbag.
I disagree, because I feel like Mariska Hargitay, unfortunately, due to the sexism inherent to Hollywood...
Uh-oh.
This is her last stop. Like, there's not going to be, like...
She's in those Resident Evil movies, or whatever they're called. And, you know, she's got some sort of career outside of SVU, and you don't think she's making $1 million per SVU episode? I think she's doing fine.
No. Those are two different things. Like, what I'm saying is the castability of women above 40 and the castability of men above 40, I think we can all agree... Super goddamn different. Christopher Maloney, he leaves SVU. A couple years later, he's doing the Wet Hot American Summer shows on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Christopher Maloney's doing this and that. It's like, there's a lot more roles out there for, like, an old, tough man who likes to murder things. But But if you disagree, Monkey, this is your time to disagree.
You know what? I'm not going to disagree. I think we can all agree, you know, Oprah Winfrey 2020.
Oh, my God. Okay, 5 tickets to you
right
away.
Yeah! Early lead for Monkey Jones.
Good job, Monkey Jones.
Hell yeah.
Oh, God. I was going to say, yes. All right, so here's what happens in that episode of SVU, and I know that we were all trying to get away from it organically, but I want to talk about it. Like, I know that the time to move on was that great Monkey Jones Oprah transition, but no. All right, so Christopher Maloney, like,
you're a pedophile. I'm going to put you in jail forever. I'm Christopher Maloney. This is SVU. This victim was very special. I've got 2 daughters at home.
And then he puts this guy away, but later he finds out, like 20 years later, he's like, uh-oh, that guy was innocent. And I put him in solitary confinement. And so Christopher, and then like, so that guy gets out and murders someone else or something. So Christopher Maloney's like, is it my fault that this guy murdered someone else because I put him in solitary? So Christopher Maloney goes,
you gotta put me in solitary. I gotta see what it's like on the inside.
And then he goes in solitary confinement. 3 days later, he goes absolutely crazy. He's like, let me out. And then Christopher Maloney realizes he's the special victim.
Are you reading like the Wikipedia article for this episode? Because you nailed it.
No, I just, honestly, SVU has a special place in the heart of all comedians.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's insane. Like, every single week, it's like there's a new app that gets kids molested, or like there's like a new street drug and it gives you false memories, and only Ice-T's gay son can track it down, who's also a youth minister now, and Ice-T doesn't like his son because he's gay, but by the end of the episode he grudgingly respects his gay son. Like, it's SVU's a trip, man. I mean, you know this, Monkey Jones.
Well, fun fact, there's an SVU episode where YouTube celebrity Logan Paul is actually in the episode and kills a person, but now in real life, he just films them for his web show.
Oh, God. Monkey Jones.
How many tickets SVU do I get for that hot scoop?
Oh, you know what? 10 tickets right off.
Yes!
But wait, Alex Robinson can counter.
No.
Alex.
Yes.
Do you have any opinions about the episode of CSI where Justin Bieber was a murderer?
Oh, shit.
Yes. I thought Bieb did a great job. I mean, considering it's outside of his wheelhouse and all, and I think it was especially...
Okay, time out.
Yes.
Time out, Alex. You just said you've never seen an episode. I'm going to have to call bullshit. Is there a bullshit meter
CSI
on the show?
I said CSI.
Yeah, we're talking about CSI now. Come on.
Okay, take away my tickets. I fucked up. I'm an idiot.
You know what? I was about to, but now that you've offered to, I won't.
Yes.
Good job. Nice. Alex Robinson, you get 5 tickets right now for calling him the Beeb.
Thank you.
Which is also how British people refer to the BBC.
Anti-Beeb.
Ooh, what's your fit? Game 1, Beeb versus Beeb. I'm going to tell you a thing. You know, I wish I had that game loaded up. Okay, Monkey Jones, let's get your Jeopardy factoid.
All right. So are you guys all aware of the famous children's book series called Diary of a Wimpy Kid?
Yes.
I'm familiar. I've never read it.
Okay. So the author, Jeff Kinney, did an AMA on Reddit, which is an Ask Me Anything for the elderly folks at home. And I asked him a question, and Jeff Kinney answered my question. And that's the closest thing to fame Aww. I've ever reached.
Okay, what was your question? What was his answer?
So I...
Alex, while he's telling me this, start preparing your own Brush with Fame counterattack for counterpoints. But right now, 5 tickets. I'm really glad you talked to the Wimpy Kid guy. Tell me everything about that exchange.
All right. Well, I suggested to the Wimpy Kid guy that I think his main character is a sociopath, and I explained why. He replied saying, no, I don't think Greg Heffley is a sociopath. He's just like the worst parts of me. So to retaliate against him disagreeing with me about his character, I made a 20-minute conspiracy video about why Greg Heffley is a sociopath, and I went through, like, what's the name of that medical journal that all the doctors use for all the different
oh the The DSM?
Yeah, I went through like the 13 sociopath traits of the DSM and attributed each of the traits to Greg Heffley by using examples from the book. I made that a video and it got 3 million views. So who's fucking right now, Jeff Kenny? Who knows more about your character now, Jeff?
Monkey Jones, that's 20 tickets. I'm very proud of you for doing that.
Thank you.
Like, honestly, success speaks for itself. Whoever is more popular is more correct. That's how America works.
Hey,
and I'm glad you made it work.
If popularity was a fallacy, somebody would have coined it by now.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Now, Mr. Robinson, would you care to counter with your own brush with fame?
Yes. It's a little uncomfortable. I was many years ago, I was working for a nonprofit company. Just in a small role, they were having an event, and I was kind of like the person at the door checking people in off of, like, you know, the clipboard. And Kevin Smith came to the event because he was supporting the charity and stuff, and he was with his
wife. Was he wearing jorts?
I believe he was wearing his patented Kevin Smith, like, uniform. The backwards cap, the long coat, the shorts. It might even have been winter time.
The hockey jersey.
10 tickets, 15 tickets. Did he break any toilets?
No. Is that something he's famous for?
Yes, he has broken now not one, but two airplane toilets.
Jeez!
Like, crushed them?
How did you find that out?
With his big fat body, yes.
Mm.
Jeez.
I'm not kidding. Look it up.
Okay, I believe you.
That's so, his celebrity Jeopardy factoid.
Sheesh. Yeah, so basically, so I was working, I was at the door of this thing, and Kevin Smith left a bit early because him and his wife were having a bit of a squabble. It wasn't anything like major, it was just the kind of thing that couples sometimes do when you're going out and, you know, you're having a little squabble. And so they were in the foyer where I was waiting, and they were getting into this squabble, and then they were like, waiting for the car. So I had to sit there in this awkward, uncomfortable, like, so how's it going kind of a thing. No, even though I have just seen them like arguing with each other, and it was very uncomfortable. So there you go. That is my brush with Kevin Smith.
I'm very happy to hear about this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's 10 tickets because you saw Kevin Smith get embarrassed, which I love.
Yes.
Now, this is the interesting thing, though. Just this morning, I was thinking about Kevin Smith's wife.
Really?
Because I was thinking
was
about
that a long
Clerks
shower?
2. Because remember how in Clerks 2, he casts his real-life wife as, like, the girl he's, like, as the girl that Randall is, like, in a relationship with, but then Randall, like, cheats on his girlfriend with Who are the actresses? Who's the actress in Clerks 2?
Rosario Dawson?
Yeah,
Rosario Dawson?
Yes, see, Rosario Dawson. I'm thinking to myself, like, it's so weird that Kevin Smith put his wife in a movie so his wife can then be cheated on and shown up by the much hotter Rosario Dawson.
Asterios, to be fair, what better way to introduce the concept of cuckolding with your wife than casting her in a movie where that exact thing happens?
You know what? I was gonna see if we could skate around the cuckolding, but you dove right in. You dove right in.
Oh, cuckolding God, is on my mind so much that you set me up. I feel like it was a sting operation to make me say it when you brought up that factoid.
I mean, to be honest, it's 2018. I should have known. Like, I'm trying to... Kevin Smith named his kid Harley Quinn. Remember that?
Oh, God.
Kevin... Honestly, Alex, I'm glad that you've brought up, like, Kevin Smith's home life and home
life. Oh, I feel terrible now.
Because it just seems like a big fucking mess. I mean, he's naming his daughter Harley Quinn. He's putting his wife in movies just to get cucked by a way hotter Rosario Dawson. Because his wife isn't even on the poster. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if Judd Apatow treated his wife like that? No, he makes his wife like the hottest and best thing in the world, even though it's like, oh, okay, she's very attractive. Yes, very good looking. It's like, but Judd, surely you know two actresses at this point, right? No? Really? You just know the one? Oh, okay, 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 I'm sure she's the best for this. I'm sure she's the best person you could have put in this. But then I flip it around again. And if I were married to Judd Apatow, I would want something out of that. Because can you imagine, like, you're sitting at dinner with him and he's just riffing all the time. And at some point you're just kind of like, yeah, look, do stand up again. Just do stand up again. Stop, like, just subjecting me to... Because Judd Apatow is kind of like Larry David Light. And it's like, I don't know. Agree or disagree. You'll get tickets based on your opinions.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. I barely know Judd Apatow out of, except for like three movies that I've seen that he directed, but Asterios, you've never been more right.
I think you're even more right than that.
That's easy.
I don't think he's giving you enough 15 credit.
15 tickets! Great job, Alex!
You know what, Asterios, fuck that. I think you're 110% right on this Judd Apatow hot take.
20 tickets!
You know what, Asterios? I know a lot of people will kiss your ass, and but I'm going to lay it on. I'm going to be truthful with you, unlike a lot of your so-called friends. And I think you're basically a genius. Don't listen to those other, like, those other glad-handers.
50 tickets to Alex Robinson.
Oh, God damn it. I'll never hit that many. Guys, while we're shitting on Kevin Smith, can we at least all agree that Dogma is an underrated gem and that that movie's great?
I want to hear what Alex thinks.
Yes, you got Alanis Morissette. You got George Carlin. What else do you need?
You got Cool Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, you're uncharacteristically silent, Asterios.
No, I was just drinking some iced tea lemonade.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like somebody's vaping.
I wish. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. I got Judd Apatow's IMDb page. He named his kid Maud Apatow. He named his kid Maud.
And then there's
Maud. He's a big fan of The Simpsons.
Ha, okay. You each get 5 tickets for your respective Maud references. Number one, and then there's Maud. And then there's Supervising Tana Lazin. Right or wrong. B, Maud Flanagan. Great job. C, but he's clearly going for Harold and Maud. Because he's like, I'm a filmmaker. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, Harold and Maud. It's, don't name your kid Maud. Don't name your kid Harley Quinn.
So what you're saying is you don't think he hopes that his daughter dies in a Homer Simpson football-related incident.
Hmm.
You mean getting shot with a t-shirt cannon?
Yeah, no. Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, it was at a football game, though, right?
It wasn't a football game, but t-shirt cannon.
Yeah.
That, here's what I love about the t-shirt cannon death. They clearly spent a month trying to find the funniest way they could kill that character. You know what I mean? They're like, how do we kill Flanders' wife in a way that's still funny? It's like, she gets eaten by alligators? I don't know. She gets lawnmower manned? What does that even mean? I don't know. She gets Leslie manned? No. Okay. All right. Look, we're talking about Kevin Smith. This is the time, I think, for a Kevin Smith best and the worst. I want to hear about your favorite Kevin Smith movie and your least favorite Kevin Smith movie. Give examples, get tickets, win prizes, win the game. Monkey.
Well,
favorite Kevin Smith movie is Dogma.
Okay, yeah.
All right, cool. What's your least favorite Kevin Smith movie?
I don't remember the name, but it's the one where the guy is slowly turning into a
walrus.
A walrus, yeah. And then Johnny Depp shows up. That's probably my least favorite. I think he had a little too much artistic creativity in that one. Maybe get the studio to give some pointers on your next movie, Kevin Smith.
Now, the film you're talking about is called Tusk.
Tusk.
Now, okay,
that's right.
Okay, you're definitely getting 10 tickets right off the bat for naming Tusk. Probably the only time Tusk will be referenced in 2018. But B, did you watch Tusk?
You know, I've only seen Dogma, but I did a podcast a long time ago where my friend reviewed Tusk on the podcast, and I'm stealing his opinion for the purposes of this podcast.
Okay. Now look, I haven't seen Tusk either, but I agree it's a terrible movie. Alex, least favorite, Kevin Smith. Let's do this.
Least favorite first, we're doing?
Either way.
All right, well, I'll go with least favorite. What's the Chasing Amy? That's the one where he's pursuing a lesbian woman, right?
Yeah, that's his only good movie. That's 15 tickets. Good job.
Well,
wait, good job. He said it was the worst.
Oh, Wow! We disagree about this completely.
Well, okay. I'm approaching it from maybe a different angle because I am a cartoonist in real life, and the main Ben Affleck was a cartoonist, and Jason Lee were cartoonists in the movie, and I found it so distracting and like, ugh, that's so unrealistic, and like, you know, it was so distracting to the movie. It totally took me out of it. So that's why. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of the bad later day Kevin Smith ones, but that one's the one I've seen, and it got me so angry that I stood up and was yelling stuff at the screen. My wife was like, "Oh, sit down!" It was terrible.
Wow.
So I'm on better meds now. So
no, but you should have been angry. I mean, like, because see, here's the interesting thing.
Yes,
our listeners may not realize. Alex Robinson and Kevin Smith are very similarly two sides of the same coin. They both had like huge moments in indie culture in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Like Alex Robinson's, you know, box office Poison series, you know, it's like right up there with Klaus's fucking stuff.
Wow.
And then the same thing with Kevin Smith, where it was like the 90s were like his passionate, relevant period. So I think if anybody's allowed to throw him some shade, it's you. You know, because it's like one artist to the other. Like, fuck off.
Well.
But what's your favorite Kevin Smith movie?
Well, it's cliche. Like I said, I haven't seen a huge amount, but I got to go with the classic Clerks. I mean, it was in a weird way that also presaged my current status because that was the first movie I remember It was like Quentin Tarantino, but for nerds. Like hearing two people debate about Star Wars and, you know, whether the Death Star, it was right that they blew up the second Death Star with the contractors and all that stuff. At the time, that was so fresh and so like, oh my God, that was so cool. Did you hear that guy talking about Star Wars? Just like us and our friends. That I was like, you know, that was, I appreciate it if only for that. But I'm sure it doesn't hold up now and after all these years. But at the time, it was revolutionary.
Well, see, Alex, if I can counter your Clerks point,
sure.
As a millennial, mm-hmm. I have a very short attention span. I can't go 5 minutes without getting on Twitter or Facebook. So the fact that there's a whole film that is in black and white, no pretty colors to distract my young, fertile mind,
mm-hmm.
I don't know
mm-hmm.
if I can respect that movie choice. It's too boring. It's too artistic. It's too creative. I need explosions, and I need Robert Downey Jr. to hit me with some quips. Are there any quips in this movie by Robert Downey Jr.?
There are some Downey-esque quips, but he does not appear very much in the movie.
Oh, I don't know if I can pay attention to it then. I'm sorry.
Hey, you're missing out, not me. You owe me no apology.
I really like Clerks a lot. I watched it a couple years ago, and I was like, why is this still watchable? Clerks is this... It is this odd lightning in a bottle film because I'm sure that 1,000 90s filmmakers were like, I'll get one location for a weekend and I'll get all my friends to play parts and we'll just talk and it'll be this like proto mumblecore thing. Clerks on paper is not revolutionary. And it's also, like, not even good because of the style. Because Kevin Smith later tries to use that same, you know, hammy dialogue, you know, what would you call it? Like, Glengarry Glen Ross light, like, Tarantino-esque style, like, young people saying snappy things, Breakfast Clubby kind of dialogue. And, like, it doesn't work in a lot of his other films. For some reason, it works in Clerks. I really like Clerks, too. I have to say, I thought Clerks 2, I saw Clerks 2 in the theater twice. I thought it was super watchable. I liked all the vignettes. I liked all the acting in Clerks 2. But for me, unfortunately, the only Kevin Smith movies I think that are good are Clerks, Clerks 2, and Chasing Amy. Like, I've never... Dogma's got some funny parts, but for me, Dogma has so much fucking exposition. Like, it's a surprisingly plotty movie for
Kevin
Smith. But
it's exposition delivered by Severus Snape, and you have to respect anything that he delivers.
I forgot he was in that.
Okay, you know, no, 10 tickets for that. You're absolutely right. It does help. But I remember watching Dogma and the movie bending over backwards to justify the existence of a shit golem. Because they were like, no, this is in the Bible. It is in the Bible. And it's like, okay, look, even if it is in the Bible, it's still, that doesn't make it funnier that there's like a poo golem here.
Okay, listen, I was 16 and I was embracing atheism for the first time. You know, The Amazing Atheist was my favorite YouTube channel, and I just needed movies like Bill Maher's Religious and Kevin Smith's Dogma to prove to my parents that their beliefs are really silly and dumb. So how dare you talk down on Kevin Smith's Dogma when it was so important for my coming-of-age atheism story?
Wait a minute. I'm giving you 20 tickets because even though you're saying that in a funny way, I feel like a lot of what you just said is actually the truth. Were you a kid that watched Religious?
I put sarcastic tonation on it in case anybody wants to make fun of me, but I genuinely mean everything I said.
That's so interesting. Did you, like, make your classmates watch Religious?
No, none of my classmates... Not a single one of my classmates cared about anything I had to say.
Oh. Alex Robinson, did you make your classmates watch Religious?
I wanted to ask, did you make your parents watch it after all that?
No, and I torrented it in my room and watched it alone, and then I thought, yeah, these are some good arguments. I can't wait to use these. And then I never did.
I'll tell you the funniest thing about my parents in religion. I was in Catholic school, and I was like, hey, I want to be an altar boy. And my parents were like, absolutely not. No. And I go, why? And I started to like cry, and I was like, I want to be an altar boy. All my friends are altar boys. And I'm like, why? Why? And my mom goes, you know why.
How old were you at the time?
I was like 11.
I don't think you knew why.
No, I did.
Oh, well.
And then, because my mom is always right. And it was like, I did know why. And then, 15 years later, turned out that guy was a pedo.
Oh, no. You saw the movie Spotlight and everything changed.
No, I'm not kidding. It turned out that guy was a pedo.
Oh,
so, my parents actually did save me from getting spotlit.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. All right.
Did Spotlight speak to you, though? Did you like
game.
That movie?
Let's play our first. We still haven't played our first real
you're
game.
Right, you're All right.
right. Our first real game is called I'm Ashamed to Like It and I Apologize. Now, in this game, you're each going to tell me about the pop culture stuff that's garbage. You know it's garbage, but you eat it anyway. I want you to tell me about your tastiest garbage. Winners are going to get tickets proportionate to their embarrassment.
Well, boy, should I go first?
Either of you guys can go first.
I'll defer to you.
All right. I'll give you time to think, because I got one that haunts me to my very core. Let me just say, folks, the people who make the Pokemon video games are scumbags. They are absolute rip-off artist scumbags, and here's why. They'll release a new game, a new generation of Pokemon, with 100 new Pokemon in it, a whole new world to explore, etc. They recently just did this. Generation 7 was Sun and Moon. But then, what these motherfuckers will do is 1 year later, they'll re-release the same exact game for the same exact $40, $50 price, but they'll add one extra word to it. So instead of Pokemon Sun, it's Pokemon Ultra Sun, where they changed one of the Pokemon to give them a different design, but you gotta rebuy, and it's the same fucking game. The same exact game. I'm playing through it right now on my gaming channel. And it's the same shit for the same price. And I am so ashamed that I gave them my money to resell the same game a year later. How dare they? And this is not the first time. Every single generation of Pokemon, they do this shit.
I had no idea it was that bad.
It's insanity.
Like, I knew this Pokemon thing was bad. It was like, you know, every year they release a bunch more monsters to fucking get these addicts going. But, so, okay, quick question. Oh, first off, 10 tickets. Great job.
Hey.
Like, because you know it's bad, but you do it anyway. It's perfect. So do you buy, like, platinum son, do you just, like, find the one Pokemon that you need, somehow add that to your Pokedex, and, like, that's it? Like, did you... Like, is that the end of your involvement with the newest iteration of the game?
No, I try to use all of the new Pokemon, and I think that's part of the trick. That's how they try to rip you off, is that, you know, a typical video game, like, if you're pulling up, you know, Legend of Zelda, you know how you can save, like, three different save files, and you can...
Yes.
Pokemon, you can't. There's only one save file. If you want to start over and use different creatures to go through the story, you have to delete all of your progress and start completely over, lose everything. So I think that they sell the same game again a year later for all those fans who say, you know, I don't want to lose all my progress. I don't want to lose all my new Pokemon friends, but I do want to play again and use different creatures. Oh, they have a new one with a slightly different name? I guess I'll rebuy the fucking game and go through it again. Another $40 in the garbage.
That is so goddamn crazy. See, my next question was going to be, is it possible to have one contiguous Pokédex? Because, and it sounds like the answer is no, if you can only have one fucking save file, because it's like, the whole point of Pokemon is to catch them all.
Right.
You gotta.
But, I mean, you have to. But that's the main character's last name is Catchem, which I'm not sure if you guys realized. It's like a very clever, subtle wordplay. But is it... Can I have every Pokemon on one cart? Like, how do you... Is it possible to catch them all? Yes or no?
It is absolutely not possible. Some Pokemon you can only get if you go to, like, events. Like, you have to go to the Pokemon Company store in New York City just to get one specific Pokemon. If you don't live in New York, you're not catching them all. Also, you can only have one save file. But the three starter Pokemon that they offer you, you can only get one of them. Which means, if you want to catch them all, you have to have friends who also have the game and trade you their starter, which means they don't get another copy of it. They're shit out of luck. They can't catch them all because they just sent you their only copy of that Pokemon. And for guys like me, you know, first of all, don't live in New York. Second of all, don't have any friends. How the fuck am I supposed to catch them all?
The way you're supposed to catch them all is buying three copies of it.
Absolutely. That's what they want. And you have to buy three different Nintendo DSs or 3DSs so that you can trade with yourself.
Are you serious?
So that you can trade with yourself, yeah.
Oh my... Alex, were you aware of this?
Remember what you were saying about you being a millennial? I have no idea what the heck you guys are talking about.
Whoa. You never played Pokemon's Go?
No, I never did.
Oh, man.
Pokemon is really good, Alex. Like, the monster designs, especially in the first game, are really good. Like... I feel like the reason Pokemon is successful, whereas a ton of other of these collecting games have failed, is, like, the drawing is so perfect. It's like Pikachu and Bulbasaur and Venonat and Butterfree and Starmie and Staryu and Hitmonochan and Hitmonlee
and Charizard.
Blastoise, Charizard. Like, they all look so good.
Half of those were made up, weren't they?
No.
All of those were made up. No, they were all real! All right.
Charizard and Dinglebar and Mixlemar.
Olimar.
No, those are all real Pokemon. Are you reading the Pokemon Wiki? Okay. Monkey Jones, you're getting 35 tickets.
Oh, shit.
Look, I know a lot about Pokemon. I had no idea it was that bad. I'm guessing our listeners didn't either. Thank you. Alex, what are you ashamed of?
I'm going to go in the world of television. That shows you how old I am. I watch television. I'm going to say Degrassi, The Next Generation. Beloved teenage soap opera dealing with hard-hitting issues like getting a tramp stamp and all sorts of cool stuff. So, and also getting stalked on the internet. You name it, the Degrassi kids have gone through it. So that's going to be my...
Okay, first off, 15 tickets right away. Degrassi is a fantastic answer. Mm-hmm. Isn't it weird, just real quick.
Yes.
Actually, before I ask this question, let me say another thing. Isn't it weird that the Canadian government makes a teenage soap opera?
Well, you know what? Like, maybe if our government did that instead of building bombs, that might be a better world, don't you think?
50 tickets to Alex Robinson.
God damn it.
Yes.
Is
good
it
job,
true?
Alex.
The government commissions Degrassi?
It's called CanCon or Canadian content. Like, I don't know if it's a direct one-to-one relationship. I think it may be more kind of like how PBS receives public funding. But the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Company, Alex, is the CBC owned by the Canadian government?
I think so. I think there's a law that says, like, channels have to broadcast X amount of original Canadian programming. Like, they can't just show reruns of American shows. They have to, like, support Canadian creators. So, but yeah, I think they're owned by the government or whatever.
Yeah, kind of like how the BBC is owned by the government. Or if not, at least it's like some sort of deeply intrinsic public private partnership where one ends and the other, like an Ouroboros. speaking of Ouroboros, Millennium, great show. But anyway, speaking of millennials, mm-hmm. So now let's talk about Degrassi real quick.
Okay.
How many episodes of Degrassi do you think you've seen in your lifetime, and when was the last time you watched one?
Well, originally when I was in high school, there was a show called Degrassi Junior High, and that was the first one. And that ran for a few seasons, and then it was gone, and then it came back like in 2004, and then I probably watched like, seven or eight seasons of it.
Exactly. As an adult,
yes,
right?
As an adult. And right. And then they canceled it, and they now but the good news is I just found out, so they canceled it. It was available on Netflix, but only in Canada. They revived it in Canada for Canadian Netflix, but now the good news is I just discovered that it is now on American Netflix too. So I have a few seasons of Degrassi to catch up on. I gotta go.
Okay, A, I'll see you later. B, okay, you're getting another 30 tickets. Alex,
God
damn it! I mean, honestly, it is way more embarrassing to be an adult that watches Degrassi than to be an adult that plays Pokemon. Mm. At least with Pokemon, you're getting exercise sometimes. With Pokemon, like, there is an inherent socially tradable element to it. Like, you could go make friends. The only person that's getting anything from Alex Robinson watching Degrassi The Next Generation, a.k.a. the adventures of hot Canadian teenagers, is Alex Robinson. Because he's shown more embarrassment, he gets more tickets and has won the game this week.
Whoa.
Shit.
But, Alex, congratulations. But, to take us all the way back to the beginning, mm-hmm. much like a snake eating its tail, Ouroboros, Alex,
yes.
What do you think of Jay and Silent Bob Go Canadian?
Oh my gosh, that is the perfect trailer round. I thought it was really cheesy.
Explain what it is.
Apparently, Kevin Smith was like myself, another way we parallel each other. He is a big Degrassi fan, and he directed like four episodes, which they kind of released as like a movie. I don't know if it was or maybe they just played the four episodes back to back. I'm sure it wasn't theatrically released, but yeah. The premise was that he was filming another Jay and Silent Bob movie in Canada, and so he needed to go to this high school to film stuff, and all the cast members get involved in the movie. And I think his daughter might be in it too. And based on what you said, maybe his wife has a role in it or something. But yeah, it wasn't Degrassi's highest moment.
But on the other hand, it's like Degrassi is known for two things: Jay and Silent Bob, Co-Canadian, and Drake. And that's it. Those are like the only times that like Degrassi has like broken out of the Canadian bubble that it is trapped in. So it's kind of like, look, is it a bit of a sellout move for Degrassi? Like a show that has like teenagers in wheelchairs dealing with HIV, like, which is literally something that happens in the show. Like, is it a little, you know, a bit of a sellout move? Yeah.
They can't blame him.
What? You can't blame their kids. Canada.
Yeah, they're.
What if they don't have anything else up there? What do you think Steven Soderbergh's like knocking on their door and being like, "I want to do Sex and Lies in Degrassi"? No.
Is it true that Degrassi had a school shooter episode? Because I've heard rumors about that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That sounds fucking awesome.
Alex, tell us everything about that episode now.
I'm confusing it now with another. I'm definitely remembering an episode. Yeah, a kid definitely went shot people, but there's been so many murders on the show that someone was stabbed to death.
Fuck?
There's been at least two suicides. It's a pretty grim show. It wasn't like a modern day. I think like a kid just brought a gun to school. It wasn't like a walking around with a machine gun killing hundreds of people kind of a thing. I think, like, the kid pulled a gun out and then, like, he was shut down before it did too much damage. But it's been a few years, so I don't remember the specifics of it, but...
That is so Canadian of him,
yeah,
to puss out at the last moment. Oh, sorry, I was going to pull a Columbine, but ooh, late for my shift. I forgot my gun at Tim Hortons. Ooh, sorry.
Wait, how old is Degrassi? Was this episode recorded?
Degrassi's been on the air for like 40 years.
So was this recorded in a post-Columbine world or what?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's a direct response to that.
Oh, wow. Yes. They got some balls over there in Canada.
They don't pull any punches on that show.
Degrassi has been on the air for so long, Monkey, that a lot of the kids that were in the very first season are on the show as parents, and their kids are going to Degrassi. Alex Robinson, final Degrassi question before we wrap up. Are there any Degrassi grandparents?
Probably by this point there are. Because in the first season, which was like 1986, a like 15-year-old girl had a baby. And that 15-year-old, that girl who was the baby, was the star of Degrassi The Next Generation when she was a teenager. But that's already like 15 years ago now. So I'm guessing that woman probably already, I can't remember her name all of a sudden. But anyway, yeah, she probably...
Was it Gabby?
What's that?
No, sorry. Moving on. And if history has shown us, specifically the history of the Gilmore Girls, young parents have kids who then become young parents because Rory is now pregnant.
Yes.
If you lean, I will follow anywhere. If you lead, I will follow you. I will follow if you lead. Well, that has been Science Friction. I want to thank...
Carole King is rolling in her grave.
Yes, an enjoyment. Rolling around, having a good time. I want to thank...
Rocking and rolling.
Mumkey Jones, Alex Robinson. Now, guys, before you go, please plug your stuff. I want people to hear all about you guys.
Hey, Alex, you can go first.
Okay. My name is Alex Robinson. I'm a cartoonist. You can get some of my books, Box Office Poison and Tricked and other titles. If you go to comicbookalex.com, that's my website. And I also host a daily podcast about Star Wars called Star Wars Minute. I co-host it with my friend Pete the Retailer. We've had Asterios on many times. Very popular guest. Hoping to have you back for Sith, buddy.
By any chance, have you had somebody on the show named E-Rich?
E-Rich? That does not sound familiar. Is that like website or something?
He's a friend of mine who said that he was on a show just like that. I didn't know if it was yours or not, but evidently it was not.
We are the only Star Wars podcast out there, so if I think he might be lying about that.
Yeah, he's probably full of shit.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I'm Mumkey Jones. You can find me at youtube.com/Mumkey Jones. That's M-U-M-K-E-Y. I make quote-unquote comedy videos about things that you won't find funny, and I just make edgy content where I scream into the microphone, stuff that you've never seen before.
And I'm a huge fan of both these guys. Please support their work, and please thank you so much for listening to Science Friction. You can support this show and get bonus episodes, exclusive bonus episodes, at patreon.com/Asterios. Please leave us an iTunes review. It really does help. You go to iTunes, look up Science Friction. I'm your boy, Asterios Kodos. Thank you both so much. Energize!